Yes, Lord, we do. Just about the dust of the earth. That you desire to dwell in earthen vessels. That all the power and the riches and the glory be unto thee. That precious treasure that we have. This morning, we just gather and praise you and thank you. Oh, Lord, thank you for drawing us into that nearness to your heart this morning and holding us there and releasing praises and glory and honor that you're so worthy of. And, Lord, we just stand complete in you this morning. We stand in you. We stand against anything of the flesh. We stand against any tactic or any words that would not be words of life this morning to us. We just commit ourselves to you, Lord. And just stand in who you are this morning. That you can just express your love and your mercy and your grace and your purpose for having us here together today. Oh, may we see afresh all that you purpose, all that is for you, like we never. May we just see it so fresh and alive today that we would be done with everything else. And leave this place utterly for you. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know how many of you read Daily Light. It's a... I don't know how many of you read Daily Light, but I thought it was really appropriate that the Lord would speak through it this morning. And I just picked it up and read it this morning, and it said, consider what great thing he has done for you. You shall remember all the way that your Lord, your God, has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Thus you ought to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have tested me. It is good for us, because this is corporate, individual but corporate. It is good for us that we were afflicted, tested, that we might learn your ways. Before we were afflicted, we went astray. But now we keep your word. The Lord disciplines us severely, but he doesn't give us over to death. He has not dealt with us according to our sin, nor rewarded us according to our own iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He knows, he is mindful that we are but dust. Praise his wonderful name. And it's been so precious this morning to just gather unto him and see what he has done for himself. As we sit here this morning, we're here because he has brought us to himself. And enlarged our vision from all the blessings to be a blesser to him here on earth. To move us from being God conscious. I mean self-conscious. To being God conscious. To move us from just receiving all the blessings, and they are blessings, to move us into what is on God's heart. And what is on God's heart? His dear Son. From eternity. And for eternity. God's heart is for his Son. And for his Son to have a bride. A body. For himself. To express and to manifest himself through. Forever, to the joy of the Father's heart. How precious of the Lord this morning to draw us near to his heart this morning. Into that very heart of heart. And he's pleased to be in our midst this morning, dwelling in his body here on earth. We could just be dumb and just sit here in the beauty of that of him the whole day. What else is there to be for us to exist for? There is reality nowhere else. There's purpose nowhere else. And there's fullness nowhere else. But I've been asked to share something of our beginnings. I wish we could just stay right today on where we are. But I was asked to share something of how the Lord moved and brought us together. And I can't I just cannot explain it. He did it because he did it. He did it. For himself. So it's not by our own might, nor our own power, but it was by his Spirit. And it was that verse kept coming to me as I tried to think of these last few days on how it all began, or he began, I saw it in that verse in 2 Chronicles 16:9. And it's that verse where it says, his eyes run to and fro all over the earth in search of a man whose heart is toward him. I'm paraphrasing some of it. And when he finds that man, singular culprit, he says, I'll come down. And that's what he did. There had been about 9 years. And meant, for some of us, it was longer. For some, it was shorter. But I have to go to my, for myself. It had been about 9 years since the Lord had really captured my heart and brought me to know him and to be set free from my own iniquities. And in that 9 years, the Lord put me with other saints. Some of you are here. And we began to pray together, cry together, laugh together, grow together. I can see this now as I look back. Because you see, we are today by the faithfulness of God, not our faith. Oh, believe me. I'm the most undone of all of you. I really mean that today. But God is faithful. And once he reveals himself to you, and you commit yourself to him, he never, never lets you go. Oh, we can lose time and we can break his heart. But at that right moment, he comes back. Because he's never let us go. But he brings us into a freshness of himself to take us on. And so, in those 9 years, there were many prayer groups everywhere. They're all over the city. Praise the Lord. There were many groups. There was much teaching. Many experiences. And at times we settled. I settled, okay, in some of those experiences. And the Lord knew that, until they dried up. And there was a little track. It's over here on the bookshelf. Himself. The Lord was so faithful to put that track in our hands and in my hand. And every time that I'd move to the left or to the right, that track would fall in front of my face. And it was, once it was the blessing, that one. Now it is the Lord. And it goes on and on. And then it says, now it is just himself alone. And as those 9 years, many of us went in and out and in and out. But there was always a knowing that there was something more. Something more. And I would say in about 1966, okay, about 66, there was a real brooding over more. We were not satisfied. There was more of, you know, to know. I'm going to have to give you just a little experience. At that time, my children were living in Florida. And I would get on the plane and go from Florida to Richmond, back and forth. And Mary Ann Mize, who was in the same church that I was in the beginning when I came to know the Lord, had moved from Richmond to Charlotte. And I had to change planes always in Charlotte to get to Richmond. So we would meet at the airport. And I have precious memories of the Lord speaking to me in that airport many times. But this particular time, with this longing in my heart, I had been down and kept our grandchildren and was ready to come home and rest. And we stopped in Charlotte. And Mary Ann was going through a very trying time. But she met me and we had precious fellowship. And she said one thing to me, Llewellyn, if you ever run across that book, The Ultimate Intention, would you get me a copy of it? And I'll pay you for it. Just mail it to me. And do write down the name of this book, The Ultimate Intention. As I share some of these, I'll share some of the things. And I said, of course, you know, I didn't know any idea. She told, you know, I just didn't know anything about what it was, but it was The Ultimate Intention by DeVern Franke, okay? And so I got on the plane and came on to Richmond. And my husband met me at the airport, and he said, oh, Llewellyn, there's a new teaching beginning tonight down in Chester. And it's on the priesthood. And we're supposed to pick up Ray Walker. And we're supposed to go down there. And my heart just dropped, you know. And I said, honey, do I have to go down? I am so exhausted. I just want to go home and go to bed. And he said, well, that's fine. That is one thing God has gifted me with. And that is a husband who will say yes to the Lord in my life and say, you obey the Lord. And so that night, he said that. He said, well, you can rest, and I'll just go pick up Ray, and we'll go on. And so we went home, and sitting at the dinner table, you get ready and go. And so I just said, well, you know, yes, I'm supposed to go with you. So I said, come on, we'll go. And so we picked up Ray over on Hermitage Road. Her husband brought her on Hermitage Road, and we had a meeting point there for all these meetings and things and experiences that I've been sharing with you. And we picked her up, and we went down to Chester to begin this series by a brother that was coming up here from Norfolk, and he was a precious brother. He really had the priesthood teaching. It was tremendous. And so I walked in to the Noonan's home, and as I walked into the house, she had a break front there with her books on it, okay? You know what's coming. I looked. I walked in the house. I hardly knew Betty, you know, but I looked, and there was one copy of The Ultimate Intention laying on that bookshelf. And I, of course, you know how impulsive I am. I grabbed it as though somebody else was going to get it before I did, when, you know, the Lord had put that book there for me. And I just held that thing to me, and I didn't know what I was, you know, I just knew I had gotten that book from Mary Ann. The next morning, I think it was October. Anyway, I have a date in it. The Lord cut off the telephone, the doorbell, and just sat me down. And I opened that book. And from page one, it began by showing God's ultimate purpose and His heart for His Son. And it transferred you from just what we could get to what God was after for His Son. And I couldn't get enough. I couldn't stop reading it, and the Lord saw to it that I didn't, night and day. And I would go to the phone, and I would call Ray, and I'd read whole chapters to him. And we'd amen, and we'd shout, and we'd sing, and we'd praise the Lord. I got another copy and sent it to Mary Ann. Because by the time we had finished it, it was according to what Louetta and Ray had seen. We had been a long time trying to get Ray delivered, trying to get Ray healed. Like she was, that God used to show us that He was after more than this outer. And that the very prisons or the very circumstances that we're in are His way of getting us from our self-conscious blessing to God's heart for His Son, and that we would become worshipers. In that book was a flyer, a brochure, that for a conference, a family conference, to be held in Wabana, and that Brother Fromke, who wrote this book, was one of the speakers. That's all I knew. Man, that was enough for me, you know. And he was one of the speakers. And so I asked Ray if she would go. And she said, yes. I asked my husband if I could go. And he said, yes. And just before we went, 3 weeks before we went, God sovereignly arranged for Ray and I to be at a deliverance, the epitome of deliverance ministry. We did not know that either one was going to be there. It all happened within a matter of hours that my husband called me and told me that somebody wanted me to go with them to this deliverance ministry. The same identical thing happened to Ray the same morning. We didn't even have an opportunity to call each other and say that we were going. When we got there, I walked out on the campus and stared Ray in the face. And we knew God had brought us there together for something. We neither one had wanted to go. And so God did. He took us to the epitome of deliverance. And there were mighty deliverance. There is deliverance ministry. Amen. But 3 weeks later, he took us to Wabana, 1967, July. And we had come from a blessing, the epitome of it, to be slain before the blesser. That's what happened. We lived one solid week in the very presence of the Lord. If you turn to the left or to the right, there was such an anointing. I mean, we had come home. From all the many things God brought us to sit at the feet of Jesus for a week, night and day. And I'm going to tell you what a dose we got. Brother Fromkin ministered every day. Brother Stephen Kong, whom I knew nothing about, had never heard of him, ministered every day. And Brother T. Austin Sparks ministered every day. I mean, the Lord loaded us double barrel. And he just shot the gun at us on everything that we've been standing on and left us at the feet of Jesus. But home, we had come home. And we knew it. Then we started home. Knowing that we couldn't go back. Where were we? What was going to happen? But we knew that the Lord had shown us himself and brought us into himself for his purpose. And there was nowhere to go but to him. And so we came home and we shared this with all the other brothers and sisters that are here, some that are here with us. And we just shared, and then we began to pray that the Lord would have a home. That he would have an expression of himself here in Richmond. That was our only hope. If he didn't bring them in, we were going to die in the world, you know, alone. And the Lord began to add, boy, the same that we, oh, incidentally, a brother Katz, some of you know him, he and Sister Katz, he taped every one of those tapes for us that we could bring back with us to Richmond. He did it at that conference. And we came back loaded. And it was at that year that God began to deal in different lives of sisters here in Richmond and drop where they were. And everywhere we went, it was settled we couldn't go back. And so the Lord began to add, and we listened to tapes, and we prayed. And the cry of our heart was that the Lord would get his testimony here in Richmond for himself. Between that conference, oh, the Lord's so faithful. between that conference, which was in July, and I'm going to have to look at some dates. Between August in 1967 to June 1968. And why I'm saying that is, I know that it was in there because in the tape ministry, on file, there is one ministry on the thorn bush that Brother Kong gave in our home on Wagner Road, June the 5th, 1968. See? Okay. So now I'm going to back up. Sometime in between there, I got a phone call from Brother Chase in Norfolk. And Brother Chase was the one who the Lord used to put the Wabana Conference together. Brother Ernest Chase. And he's with the Lord. Okay? And I got a phone call from him. He said, Sister Miller? And I said, oh, yes, I recognized the voice. And he said, Brother Stephen Kong, Brother Kong was living in New York, Brother and Sister Kong. He is coming through Richmond. And he will come out to your home and just minister to you, few sisters, if you'd like for him to. And then if you'll meet him at the plane and then take him back to the airport and send him on an offer. Well, the heavens opened up. And Brother Kong came. I don't remember whether this was the ministry. I tried to get him to share with me Sunday, and he didn't remember. He said he just did not, you know, remember. And I don't. And if any of you do remember what that first ministry was, share it. Well, anyway, came back to the airport after he'd shared with us. And he committed himself to come here every time he went to Norfolk from that one little visit. And I tell you, the Lord began to bring people every time he would come. He would come from New York and he'd minister to in Washington. And then he'd come on here and share, and then he'd go to Norfolk. This was the circuit. And he included us every time from then on. He saw that the Lord's heart was for something here in Richmond. And he committed himself to minister to us. And it was during that year that he gave this ministry on the thorn bush. That's another must for you to hear. It was on Exodus 3. And it was on, we have this precious treasure. It's not the pot. It's the treasure. It's not the thorn bush. It's the treasure, our Lord Jesus Christ, in earthen vessels in the thorn bush. So he, need I say more? The Lord, in his faithfulness, has even brought our brother here to Richmond and settled him down at home, in his home. We continued that next year. The Lord really began to give increase. And our prayer, no matter how it was or whatever, we did cry out, Lord, get for yourself a house, a home in Richmond, an expression of yourself. And he began. Now, you see, we really didn't know what we were doing. We really didn't know what was going on. That's why I'm saying it's hard for me to sit here. I don't know how, you know, I just know the Lord was faithful. And from that, the Lord began. We went to Wabana for 3 years, I think 3 or 4, and the same ministry. We got loaded every time. I mean, we got shot every time. And every time that we went back the next year, there was more fullness in our lives and in corporately. I mean, there were more of us that went. I think Ugurtha and her husband Raymond and Ray and Lucille Patterson went the second year. Now, that was the difference between two, you know, and increase. The next year, Elsie was in by then. The Lord had captured her that first year when I came back with those tapes. Do you remember who else went? The same group, but you went that year. And Betty, that's right, Betty and Mary... Bell. And you see, so year after year, there was more increase. And we, as I said, we did not know what we were doing.
Who?
Mary Jane. Mary Jane. But so that's how the Lord began in that way, in our home, a wave in the road. But still, see, there was no regular time. The only thing that I remember was that in 1968, that same year, Brother Gene Grueler from New York came and ministered in our home with Brother Kong. And we took the Lord's table in our kitchen on Waveney Road. We didn't know, I'm telling you, but God knew. And He honored it. And so from then on, in 1971, we moved out to Midlothian. And we were sure that nobody would come like that. That was too far. And you know if you've been out there. And I've been. And incidentally, I must say this, that I didn't know this. I didn't remember it. But Jerry, this week, now he said he came to our home on Waveney Road before he got married. When he was in college. Now he said it. But I don't remember it. And he had heard this Chinese man speak on our home, you know. Okay, so we go out to Midlothian, and we were sure, you know, that would just, nobody would come that far, but just a few. But anyway, they did. And our home was flowing over before we knew it. And out of that, the sisters were doing the praying, the ministry when Brother Colin wasn't here, or someone else, the teaching, the work, the taping, and... In our brother's testimony on the faithfulness of the Lord to himself, to his people here in Richmond, one thing I remember, he said that in one ministry that he heard the brother say, "I don't hear any men praying here." And that's the truth, because at that time there were no brothers that really had come into the place. And you see, what we had been praying for, we knew that there was order in God's house. And that was one of the things that we were praying for, that God would send brothers. We were tired. of doing it all. And we knew it was out of order. And we began to pray for God's order. I mean, this from the beginning. There were some brothers, but they really would not take responsibility. And so, after we'd been out there, and I can... We moved into Midlothian in 1971. In 1972, Brother Fromke came out to Midlothian. His ministry was on God's order. Oh, praise the Lord. And that ministry we have. And he himself said, and boy, this blessed us. He said, if God can't get his order, he'll use sisters. He will use sisters until he can. And then that was the beginning, I think, of brothers hearing. But it was because it was that next year in 1970. 1973, that we had a conference in Richmond at Roslyn, and there were less than 100 people. But it was precious. Oh, I hear, see some of you shaking your head. It was precious. Brother Kong and Brother Frank, the little handful, scared to death the sisters playing that thing. And there, some of the brothers from other areas, you know, would pray or would come forth a little bit. But the brothers here were not still able to do that. But on the second year, the second conference, the Lord had worked in the hearts of those brothers. And the sisters did the mechanics. But we got over to Roslyn, and we saw the brothers, some of the brothers, get up and take their place. And we sat down. And we could sit down, and we never had to come forward. And the Lord raised them up right in front of our face and said, this is the answer to your prayer. At the end of that conference, guess what happened? There was a wedding, a bride and a groom. And it was Kenny and Linda. That was the climax of that. We didn't see it then. We were so caught up in the frivolities of Linda and Kenny getting, and they surely didn't see it, you know. But looking back, oh, the faithfulness of God to just hear, encourage, and build, and get for himself what he was after. Those conferences have been going on ever since, and now they're around 600. We've had to move many times. But in the middle of that, the Lord showed us it was time to move out of our home. And that was in a way hard, because we ate together every Sunday, 40 of us. Every sister knew where things were in my house as much as I knew. And believe me, I let them do it. It was beautiful to see. But God had taken us in the meantime. We had seen something of the expression of the Lord's house and his family. The Lord took us to Wabana, and from Wabana, he took us on a short trip to New York. And here, I was fearless, I guess. I'd drive through New York. And no fear. And we got up there to Jamaica. And I raised it. Do that. Ray told me to share this. She said it that first year at Wabana, the one thing she remembered was everybody was seeing all these Chinese people from Jamaica, and she thought they meant Jamaica. And did she not know that it was Jamaica until we were invited to Jamaica, New York, and that's where the fellowship was there. And that's where Brother Kong was there. And they had, the Lord had really given them a beautiful place. And we went up there and we really saw family life. Those brothers and sisters laid their lives right on the carpet for us. When we arrived there, they were waiting for us, looking for us, and we couldn't open a door to the car. They were just right there and took everything, our tape recorders. We'd come, you know. They took everything. We were going to get all those messages. So they opened the door, took everything out for us, took us into the meeting place, fed us. They'd farmed their children out and kept us in their home. And all of us stayed in one home, and this brother farmed his, and sister farmed their children out, and they fed us every meal. We couldn't do one thing, but there was no sweat. There was no sweat. We were as much in the presence of the Lord as we were at that time when we went to Wabana. I mean, there was no sweat. They served us. They just laid their lives down. And I'll never forget, one of the things that touched us so was that this Sunday was the end of the meeting, and we were going to head for Richmond after the meeting. And that morning, I went downstairs, and there was Jean and Mary just fixing sandwiches, roast beef, no less, just fixing in the midst of having breakfast and everything else. And I said, you know, you're all so busy. Well, we want to fix y'all's lunch so you won't have to eat on the road. I mean, everything. We just were so touched. And there again, we came home praying, Lord, get that in Richmond. Well, to get back to, that was a little in between. As I told you, there's no way I can stick to, you know, everything the way it went. But those were the things that impressed us. So we came home, and I can say this, that from that first time, the sisters, once we saw the conference here in Richmond where the brothers had really stood up in front, then we really did pray that God would really get his people together here. And he began to do it. We had to move out of our house, as I said. We first came over to the West End Community Center on the second floor, and we met there. And the children were in the next room. Abby. And we didn't stay there long. We outgrew it. We could, you know, it was just the Lord was just blessed. And we outgrew it. So then we moved over to the Tuckahoe Women's Club on Hermitage. And I don't think we stayed there a year. I mean, it was just, the Lord just really did begin to knit us together. And it was then that we began, the Lord showed the brothers and the sisters, everything was, everybody was in one accord. And that we need, that we really sensed the Lord was going to give us a place to settle his name over and build us together. And so in 1975, September, Jerry said there was a place which was about three doors from where we were meeting. A beautiful place in Bellevue, there on Pope Avenue. And that's a whole nother deal. Get the ministry that Jerry gave, and all of that's in there. How God took up nothing. I mean, I think we didn't have $2,000. And the Lord, we just went up there. And I'll never forget, Johannes was with us. And over that arch that goes into Pope Avenue, is called Bellevue, and it has a big name over it, you know, Bellevue in stone, and the house is right there. And Johannes said, Bellevue, beautiful view. That's what Bellevue means. And I've never been able to call it anything but Bellevue since, so that's why I'm saying to you, we saw Bellevue. And God gave us that day when we went in there. I mean, the brothers, we didn't know this, but the sisters were in the kitchen, and the Lord really spoke to us and said, don't be anxious. You know, but with prayer and thanksgiving, make your request known unto God and the peace of God. You know, okay, at that same time that we were doing that, the brothers were on the third floor, and the Lord had told them to put their foot down. He was going to give it to us. And he gave it to us. Over, I mean over somebody else being in that house that very day saying, we bought it. We've already bought it. God showed us that he was giving it to us. And we had nothing. I mean nothing. But he told us to pay the full price. And that was the issue that really, it became ours. Okay, we hadn't been in there any time before we were busting at the seams. The Lord was blessing us so with brothers and sisters and with many children. The preciousness to me is that the Lord has been so faithful in bringing young families to himself, capturing them early for himself. That's been our joy, to see him do that and to really see the young and the old flow together. And to know that God's heart is for us because he sees his son here. He sees his son. And he sees his son's bride in our midst. It's awesome. Most of you know the rest of this story. How we outgrew Bellevue so quickly, and how God brought us here, and how we outgrew here until he gave us this. And we sit here this morning, by his mercy, by his grace, by his faithfulness, he sees his son, and he was pleased this morning to draw us sisters here into his heart afresh. And it is, I know, every one of our prayers that the Lord will get the sisters so knit together that we can be that prayer vessel for him to undergird what he's doing here, to undergird the brothers that are in such a place of responsibility. It's awesome. To undergird their families, to get God's heart, his son fully formed in us. When we first began, we prayed over many things. We prayed for everything. I have the notes here of our first meeting of the sisters in Bellevue. I wish I had time to share some of them with you. How precious he's been to gather sisters. As I said, we didn't know what we were doing. But from the first, he let us pray. We were praying for everything you needed and I needed. You know, it was because it was just a handful. But I think above that, it wasn't any time when he showed us there was a deeper need than our need. And that his burden was for us to pray his burden in. And I think that's when we shifted gears and began to pray for his burden, for his son. And I trust that what he's doing now, that we can trust him in one another. And the main thing that I would say, is that find a sister that you are really can trust yourself to be who you are in, and get a prayer partner and pray over your, you know, the things that we used to be able to include, and now because we all have grown. God has given such increase that it's like he's drawn us here on Tuesdays to really undergird his burden here to have a home in our midst. That's God's heart. The other thing that I would say, we don't have time to go over those first notes. I really had hoped we could, because you'd see what I'm saying. We prayed over everything, you know. But in it all, from the first time that the sisters met at Bellevue, now I'm saying that to me, that is where the Lord began to really, it was scattered before then. But that's when he settled and brought us into a sisters meeting. That we could say the first meeting of the sisters was at Bellevue. March the 8th, 1977. And we sang Far Above All. And then we just... From there, our eyes were on him, and he just filled us, and we just praised him and worshiped him for a long time. He did it all. The Holy Spirit would just come and just, you know, us to him. And it took about 3 weeks of us being told by the Lord to get in Ephesians. You'd see this from my notes. The first time we began to read from Ephesians, and that very thing would have been what the person, another sister, had on her heart that very day. And that happened 2 or 3 times. And the third time, we all agreed, we believe the Lord wants us to get in Ephesians, because that's where we were. And the precious little illustrations of the Lord, really, what he was after. I never will forget, Marzi had one about, she just came in so vibrant. It was a beautiful spring morning, and she said, "I just pruned my plants this morning." And she said, "Without pruning, there's no growth. But pruning, there's fruit." And it was just things like that that would just send us right back. And then the Lord would just share, you know, that he was building us into his house. He was the head of his body, but he wanted a body to express himself through. And so we began then to read the whole book of Ephesians. We read it every time we came together, beginning at verse 1. And just letting the Lord lead us. And the verse that stuck out to us, I have it written in here, is that verse, and I'm going to close with this, because this is the nigh. Just as much as it was then. It's Ephesians 3. Verse 10. You know, he's talking about the mystery that's hidden in Christ through the ages. And then in verse 8, he says, "Unto me, who am less than least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." And now verse 9 and 10. "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things, by Jesus Christ, to the intent that nigh, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Can we just pray? Lord, there's no amen in you. You are the beginning, and you are the end, and we are in the now, and you are over us. You have brought us thus far. You have gone before us. You have laid down your life that we might walk in life. And now, Lord, the now of this day that we're in, we commit ourselves. Lord, I just commit myself to a faithful God that has never failed. And the end of all things will be to see you face to face. Oh, Lord, our hope and our help, our anchor, our fullness, our all in all. We look to that day when your eternal purpose, that your Son, everything will be summed up in Him, and to Him be all glory and honor.